So you're more than welcome to mute yourself or to even, there's a capability to hide your camera view if you want. So just know that that's an availability out there for you as well. I wanted to introduce Sherrod Dubitsky, who will be hosting this wonderful workshop. Sherrod was the Sharshari Clinical Director for many years before retiring 2 years ago. Her expertise was in women living with advanced metastatic cancer. She's currently our senior advisor at Sharshari, and she has been in experience for 30 years working with children and families living with trauma. Sherrod frequently lectures across the country on varying topics, including breast cancer, parenting, life skills, and spirituality. And she has a love for humor and uses her humor with her everyday life and her expertise. So on that, I'm going to move the floor over to our wonderful senior advisor.
Okay, well, nice to meet you. It's nice to be back with the Embrace Group. I really miss being in touch with this group. It was a very important part of my work here at Sharsheret. I do want to add one extra part to my bio that I didn't give to Bonnie, but my mom was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer when I was 13. And lived with it for about 6 years. So I very fluidly interchange my hat of being a psychologist to also having been a kid and having been a family member of somebody who was living with metastatic. So I easily put on both hats as we have this discussion. So when we came up with this topic, as we head into Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's, there's a lot of time with family, there's a lot of time with friends, and we thought that we would maybe talk about navigating the holidays with those relationships.
Great.
So one of the things that I would start off with is not to script the, not to pre-script the holiday. So a lot of times we go in with expectations about what we want this holiday to look like, what we want this holiday to look like with our kids or our siblings or our parents. And we want people to behave certain ways and we pre-script it. And we are sort of stunned when people aren't following the script that we have written. So I think if you were to take one takeaway from this conversation, it would be to really let the exchanges and the relationships and the conversations and the experience be more organic. Let it unfold organically. And I think this way it lowers expectations and therefore I think that the experience can be a more positive experience. The other thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to maybe just do a few bullet points, a few takeaways based on conversations that I've had with women over the years. And I share them with you. And it's not my takeaways. It's really the hard-earned wisdom of women like you who I really have learned from over the years. So let's talk more about adult relationships first, right? Whether we're talking about siblings or we're talking about parents or, aunts and uncles or friends. So first of all, even though I said that don't go in pre-scripted, you can go in setting boundaries in your own mind for yourself. For example, this is a time where people may think that they want to catch up with you and talk about your health and talk about what's going on with you medically. Now, for some of you, that might be a comfortable thing to say, like, this is what's going on, and you share it. For others of you, this may be a cancer-free zone where you don't want to talk about cancer, right? And I think that if you choose to share what's going on medically, you can decide how much you want to share. So I had one woman who said, just because somebody asked me the question doesn't mean that I am obligated to answer it and to give the full answer. So sometimes you can, you know, say a more general or broad response. If you're feeling like you really want to share, then share. And by the way, it's not universal. So it's not that you have to share everything with one person and therefore share everything with somebody else. That you can really decide how much you feel like sharing with each of the people that you're going to be spending time with. The other thing is that if you decide you don't want to talk about what's going on medically, you can really say, you know what, I've decided this is a cancer-free zone. That's my decision. This is a cancer-free zone. I don't have a problem talking about it. So if you want to talk about it, give me a call after the holidays, and I'd be more than happy to update you. And more likely than not, people aren't always necessarily following up. Let's say, you know, friends who you may run into, whatever. Certainly your family, I'm assuming, has been up to date, right? But if you happen to be going back to your community of, you know, where you grew up and you're running into people, you know, and who know generally about what's going on, you don't have to answer them. But you could say, listen, I'm more than happy to talk about it. Give me a call. And more likely than not, they're not going to call. Also, during this time, sticking with adults, this is a time where friends and family, God bless them, kind of pretend like they're award-winning oncologists. Right, where they offer a lot of unsolicited advice. So that also is very hard to manage. And people may say, well, I read this. I was on the internet and I looked at this. Or my friend's Aunt Sally, you know, tried this. So it's hard. It takes a lot of energy to say, well, that's not really my situation. Right? You know, this is what's going on for me. These are kind of my variables about what's going on. And then people don't accept that. So people give pushback. Well, I don't know. Like, have you looked into that? Maybe you should try it. Right? And that takes more energy to say, well, yes, but I don't have, you know, my cancer's HER2 negative. You know, what you're talking about. And suddenly you're in education mode, explaining to people that that's not your situation. That takes a lot of energy. That's really frustrating. So I had a friend of mine who, you know, people were always offering, she would go to these family events and people were offering unsolicited advice. And she's like, I can't, I don't have the energy for this. So she and I came up with the bobblehead technique. So what's the bobblehead technique? The bobblehead technique is no matter what people say to you, you kind of bobblehead and you say, you know, that's really interesting. I'm going to bring that up with my doctor, right? And people are thrilled because you've taken their advice. And we always laugh about ever since we employed the bobblehead technique that people kind of walk away feeling really good that they helped out, that, you know, you're taking their advice. And I kind of picture I would say to my friends, I kind of picture that they're walking away with like a thing of cotton candy, right? They're so happy. They're walking with their cotton candy. But you know what? You bite into cotton candy and it's just air. There's no substance to it. But they're just so happy to have it, right? So it's so much easier to bobblehead and say, thank you very much. Or, you know what, send me that article. I really appreciate it. You don't even have to open it. They don't know, right? So it's just so much easier to bobblehead. And by the way, I bobblehead in so many situations that I'm at a point right now where my kids who are young adults, they're 21 and 18, they bobblehead me all the time. And I'm perfectly happy with that. I said my piece. a bobblehead. I'm like, did you just bobblehead me? And they're like, yes. All right, well done. Also, it's okay to set emotional and physical boundaries. So a lot of times, I think there's a lot of pressure, you know, when you're living with advanced cancer to say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be next year. I don't know what my strength is going to be like. I don't know what my health is going to be like. I don't know if I'm even going to be here, right? Those are thoughts that people have. And so there's a pressure to be in everything, to be involved in everything. And as a result, you're drained and you're not really then present in anything. So it's okay to say, you know what? I am tired. I'm going to go lie down for 20 minutes. Or if you're feeling kind of like you need to take a breath, I'm going to go out for a walk for 10 minutes, for a half an hour. It's okay to do that. And don't feel like you're missing out on something because of this other pressure that you're feeling that I have to be at every single part of this event. That's okay. It's also important to take care of your needs and clearly communicate that to family members. So I can tell you as a caregiver, so I'm taking off my psychologist hat and I'm putting on my having been, you know, an 18, 19 year old with my mom, it was so much more helpful for me as the caregiver to be told what she needed, right? Then have to kind of wonder and then walk away feeling guilty. Wait, did I do that right? Did I meet her need? Did I not meet her need? I so much more appreciated when my mother would say to me, you know what? I can't do the sides this year, right? I can't prepare the sides this year. Can you do it, right? So if you're somebody who's hosting the holiday, it's so hard to give that up if you're used to being, you know, having the people by you for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or New Year's. But it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And that's another piece I want to talk about is a lot of times when people call me, whether it has to do with cancer or whether it has to do with any other thing in life, I don't know, should I do this or this? As if we only have a binary choice. We don't have binary choices. There are very few instances in life that are binary. So, you know, should I host or shouldn't I host? Right? That's binary. Maybe you say, I'm going to host, but I'm having other people cook and bring it. Right? Or I'm just going to make the turkey. So, again, try to move away from this binary thinking and think about what you can do comfortably, what you feel comfortable with, and then communicate what your needs are. Also, as I said, create time and space for yourself. If you are feeling like it's a lot of family time, and sometimes it can feel that way, you know, if you're in a community where you know people, maybe set up a short visit with a friend. You know, maybe there's one particular family member that you feel comfortable with. Say, let's go for a walk. That's an okay thing, too, just to take a breather. Also, have a good learning curve, right? Have a good learning curve. So we know from the past, right? Are we okay still? I'm hearing.
Okay.
Harry, I think you need to mute yourself.
Okay.
So have a good learning curve, right? Meaning our family and friends, we're not meeting them for the first time. We already know their shtick, right? We know who they are. We know this one's a worrier. This one's a controller. This one is the crier, right? This one's the boss. This one offers the unsolicited thing. So we know who our family are. We love them, but we know who they are. So, you know, for example, I love my dad. I love my dad. I'm actually going to see him for a whole weekend coming up. I already know his thing, like what he does. And so instead, so I do a lot of bobbleheading, but the other thing I do is at this point, I kind of know what he's going to do. And it used to be that it upset me. Now I picture myself with a big bowl of popcorn. So as soon as he's doing his thing, I'm like, I'm like pretending to eat my popcorn. That is amazing. And it cracks me up. And it kind of entertains me at this point rather than upsetting me. Because people are following who they are. There are no surprises. People are who they are. And so if you are getting upset by them, then you don't have such a great learning curve, right? Take what you know, and it's not worth getting upset because they're just doing what we already know they're going to be doing. Also, at the end of the day, we can't control what people are going to say. People are going to say their thing, and we can only have responsibility for how we want to respond to it. And I kind of think that the bobblehead thing is the best thing, or the popcorn, or whatever you can do to sort of diffuse that situation. The other thing that I want to talk about, particularly for those of you who maybe have little kids, I don't know if any of you have little kids.
No.
Okay. No. So nobody has little kids. Or even, you know, I guess kids at all, or grandchildren, right? There may be grandchildren. That there's a lot of pressure, and I know this from my mother with us, but that there's a lot of pressure to create memories, right? We want our families to remember us. And so there's a lot of pressure that this has to be the perfect Thanksgiving. And this has to be the perfect Christmas and the perfect Hanukkah and the most celebratory New Year, right? Because we have to create memories for our kids, for our parents, for our siblings, for our grandchildren. So here's the unfortunate reality. We cannot control how people are going to remember us. We have no control over that or with our friends. So I think that my mother and my father, quite frankly, would be appalled at the things that I remember from my childhood and the things that I don't, right? So, you know, like, there are just, like, ridiculous things that I remember from growing up, right? And I'm sure, you know, if my mother, you know, could be in touch with me now, she would say, okay, so you don't remember all those hours that I spent, you know, helping you write your papers and blah, 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 blah. And the answer to that is no. I have no memory of that. I have other memories. And so don't put the emphasis on this has to be the most meaningful and this has to be the most memorable because this is how, you know, really that you should all have many years. But when the time comes, that this is how I want to be remembered. You don't have control over that. So just kind of give that up. Also, I'm going to end with this and kind of open it up with a discussion. It's getting together with friends and family don't have to be limited to the holidays, right? So keep that in mind. Be proactive in making plans and carving out time to spend with loved ones because the truth is I kind of think that the non-holiday times that we spend with our families are almost easier because they don't have all the pressure of the kind of things we've been talking about, and they could be more natural, more organic. And I'm going to end with this, is that when I think about raising my kids, that my favorite memories of the kids weren't the ones that were caught on film, right? They happened in the moment, and then afterwards I would say, God, I wish I had a picture of that. God, I wish I had that on video, right? And a lot of times when we go to events and we try to do these like big family portraits or whatever, people are annoyed having to sit there, right? So is that the memory we want to have, like people sitting there having to be in these posed pictures? No, it's the more natural things that go on between us that end up being the things we cherish the most. So There's so many more things we can talk about, which I hope we talk about, but these are the ones that really stick out for me as I think about having worked for so many years with women who are living with advanced cancer. So I open it up to share your thoughts, questions, you know, whatever you want to talk about. We can go in any direction with this.
So everybody should be unmuted. Perfect.
So feel free to jump right in. Is there, you know, a particular takeaway that really resonated with you? Are there questions? Do you have an upcoming scenario that you wanted to maybe get some of the wisdom from the other people on the call, who are with us today on this, you know, in this discussion?
Well, hi, I'm Lisa. I'm not anticipating a great day. I have a very small family. There's maybe 9 of us, if that. And we all live pretty close, so we see each other all the time. But my brother and I had a big fight about a month ago, and he said things that I will never forgive him for. And I haven't seen him since. And he lives upstairs from me, mind you. And it's also his birthday on Thanksgiving, and I'm not getting him anything. I'm so mad at him. And I'm really afraid of, I mean, we all usually all drive down together, my mother, my father, my brother, and I, to my cousin's house, and I don't even want to deal with it. And it's really making me have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I know I should. See, the thing, my brother and my father are both very narcissistic. And so it's not like I can even call my brother and say, hey, let's talk this out, because he won't. You know, he won't want anything to do with it. And he's just going to be like, well, that's too bad. I just told you the truth. And it's just making me really anxious. And I don't know, you know, what to do. It makes me want to not go, but I do want to go. You know, it's Thanksgiving. And I don't know. So I'm just really nervous about that.
Right. So I have some thoughts. But before I jump in, does anybody else have any thoughts for Lisa? Okay, so I'll jump in. I think, Lisa, that when I talk with people about this kind of issue that you're bringing up, mm-hmm. A lot of times I think that if we let go of it, that people, like when people have approached me and you know, and said, well, haven't people ever said things to you and whatever? My feeling is I want to let go of it, and I'll tell you why. It's not for the other person. It's not for the other person. It's the most selfish act that I can do, right? It's self-preservation. So I know that that's hard to do because we're injured, right? We've been hurt. We've been injured. We feel like, why are you not considering me? Why aren't you, you know, like, whatever it is, and those are legitimate. But at the end of the day, you know, we carry that stuff around us. My husband often says that, like, it's those thoughts are taking up room in our brains, mm-hmm. right? And they're not even paying rent. Right? That's what he would say. They're yeah. there for free, and they're not even paying rent. And what I would say is that you can choose to evict that resident, that tenant, that is a terrible tenant, right? Those yeah. thoughts are terrible tenants. It keeps you up at night. It makes you feel anxious. It's very loud, right? Those thoughts about your brother mm-hmm. is a terrible tenant. And that you can make a choice to say, I am going to evict my whatever anger I'm feeling right now, whatever anxiety I'm feeling right now, I'm sending it an eviction notice, because I'm not going to let those thoughts and those feelings take up room and not pay rent. So I think that it's very hard to get to. And a lot of times our ego gets in the way because we often feel like we were in the right.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So we're in the right. But if you really think about it like an apartment building and your tenant upstairs is a terrible tenant. At the end of the day, you still walk around feeling like you're right, mm-hmm. but that doesn't resolve the issue.
Right.
Right? Health doesn't resolve the issue. So if your goal is to get them to stop stomping around and to perhaps, you know, lower their music or whatever it is, you can approach it with the anger, or you can approach it with the avoidance, right? But that doesn't get you to what your goal is.
Right.
You are very clear that you want your goal to be that you want to be there, and I'm assuming so that you want to be there and not have this interference, not to have this bad tenant. So if the best that you can do is to maybe evict those thoughts, maybe for a day. Maybe you can just do it for Thanksgiving,
okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then if you feel like it's unjust, then let the thoughts come back in after Thanksgiving,
okay.
Right? It doesn't, maybe just evict them for the weekend so that you can really be with your family and not have it be sort of so toxic. And you already know that your father and your brother are narcissists. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. You know why? Because yep. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So as soon as they start to go into their narcissist role, bring out your popcorn and be like, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Try to get yourself to be like, oh, right, there it is. I was expecting it, and diffuse it.
Okay, definitely. I will definitely try that.
Karina, there's yogurt downstairs. Yogurt in the drawer, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody else? I don't know. It's hard to know if people are shy or if material is not resonating or maybe I covered everything. So, is there one particular takeaway that was helpful to anybody? No? Okay. Go ahead, Lisa. It looks like you want to say something.
I was just going to say, I found it very helpful, everything you said. And, I mean, I could go on for days with my things, but I really don't want to. And I really appreciate everything that you've said because it's made so much sense. And
okay.
I love the fact that you said, you know, don't try not to anticipate what the day is going to be like. Because
right.
If I do that, I automatically already am feeling bad. So, you know, I just want to get that out of my mind. And I love that you said that because that makes so much sense.
Okay, good. I'm happy. Look, and I encourage, you know, you guys to continue this discussion on the Facebook page. And, you know, if there is a specific question that you wanted to run by me, then Bonnie can be in touch with me, and I'd be more than happy to address that.
Absolutely.
So I'll hand it back to Bonnie.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, everyone, for attending. This will be recorded, and I will post it to the Sharsharat website. Of course, you can always call me or email me. I'm here Monday through Friday. You guys know where to find me and on the Facebook group. And Sharat, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
It was amazing. I think we learned so much. I know I learned so much going into my own living with family and friends and the like. So thank you so much for coming in and giving such a wonderful workshop.
My pleasure. I also hope I can apply all this too.
Exactly.
It was good to have a refresher for myself even.
The holidays can be really hard.
It can be hard.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
And so many families and negotiating situations and we really...
Yeah.
Really stressful.
Absolutely. So with that, I want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. And
you also.
You know, that it should be moving forward strength and healing for all of you.
Thank you very much.
And Sharat said before, the discussion doesn't have to stop here. You guys could always talk about it on the Facebook group and post your questions or start a discussion. I know we're also, the whole group is so wonderful and peer support driven. So you know, don't let the conversation stop here. You can always bring up your thoughts and ideas and questions on the Facebook group.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And I look forward to speaking to everyone very, very soon. Thank you.
Okay, take care.